guys caught it on Sunday morning or not, one of the first things that Pastor Jimmy said, he was talking about the money that was received and the funding that was received, and he said that, you know, the $20,000 to pay off the gutters and the bricks and the roofing was taken care of. Now, if you recall, thank you, amen, right? God is awesome. If you recall, that was the first thing that we prayed for that Monday in January, that we prayed for that New Life Fellowship will pay off the $20,000 loan for the bricks, gutters, etc., and repair the ceiling in the sanctuary. So here we are at the end of February, and God is answering prayers that we fasted for in January. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to be part of what God is doing? And I heard, little birdie told me, that on Sunday, we're going to be having the seventh baptism. Amen, right? That's awesome. That is fantastic that we get to serve a God like that. And He's worthy of our service. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. And you see, it's so easy to praise God when the things are going well for us, isn't it? So easy to praise Him and say, yeah, that's my God. So easy to praise Him when we're on the mountaintops. So easy to say, yes, Lord, you're the best. But what about, and I heard some of the prayer requests tonight, what about those times in your life when you struggle? When you lose a husband of 55 years? When you're struggling with your spouse in marriage? When you lose an 18-year-old child? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the toughest day, season, month, year of your life? Is God still worthy of the praise in it? He is. Tonight we're going to be finishing up the section in 1 Samuel that I've been preaching through. So if you recall, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we talked about this woman named Hannah. Now Hannah didn't have children. She wasn't able to have children. The Bible tells us that God kept her from getting pregnant. Her husband Elkanah married another woman by the name of Peninna, who was able to bear children. Now, Peninna was this woman, the rival of Hannah, dogged her day in, day out, made her feel less than because she couldn't have children. It drove Hannah to despair, great turmoil, quite a lot of issues that she had to go through. And she cried out to the Lord. She said, God, if you would hear me, if you would hear my servant and give me a son, I will commit this child back to you all the days of his life, and I won't cut his hair. And she wept and she prayed and she cried out. And then by some miracle, God blessed her and Elkanah with a little boy named Samuel. And we talked last time how she had to fulfill this vow to the Lord, and that meant raising this child up to about 3 years old until Samuel was weaned, and walked him up to the temple where in Shiloh where Eli was, and she handed off this little boy to fulfill her promise to God to never have him return home again. And on the toughest day of her life, she was able to praise him and worship him. So says 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28. Now I give the boy to the Lord for as long as he lives. He is given to the Lord. Then they worship the Lord there. We're going to pick it up and we're going to see how Hannah responds to the most difficult day of her life, what she's able to say to God, how she's able to act, how she's able to praise God through it. So if you have your Bibles, join me in 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. It says, chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted up by the Lord. My mouth boasts over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There was no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Verse 3, do not boast so proudly or let arrogant words come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and actions are weighed by him. The bows of the warriors are broken, but the feeble are clothed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are starving hunger no more. The woman who is childless gives birth to seven, but the woman with many sons pines away. The Lord brings death, and gives life. He sends some down to Sheol, and he raises others up. Verse 7, the Lord brings poverty and gives wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the trash heap. He seats them with noblemen and gives them a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the world on them. Verse 9 says, he guards the steps of the faithful ones, but the wicked perish in darkness. For a person does not prevail by his own strength. Those who oppose the Lord, says verse 10, will be shattered. He will thunder in the heavens against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give power to his king, and he will lift up the horn of his anointed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, humbly before you, God. Lord, we've already read that there is none like you. There is no God like you. Who are we that we would be called your children? Lord, I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that promise, Lord. And as Pat said, Lord, if there's somebody in here today that does not know you, may they walk out of these doors changed and have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, we can commit these next few moments to you. We ask that you guide us, that you open our eyes to the spiritual things that you'd have for us tonight. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hannah, on the worst day of her life, this is what came out of her mouth. Sure, she had a broken heart. Sure, she had to leave her heart's desire. But she says in verse 1, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Now, only somebody with a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ can say that during a tough time. My heart rejoices in the Lord. And this is what Hannah's saying here. You see, a lot of us, many of us, our heart goes, when we have a minor inconvenience, we can't say, our heart rejoices in the Lord. We say, I'm going to go to the world because they're going to make me feel better. I'm going to go to so-and-so because they have the better answers than God. I'm going to run off and do things my way because I'm feeling down. I had a flat tire. I'm going to the bar because of it. I stubbed my toe. Time to get high. It doesn't make sense. We run to the world with these things. Hannah says, no, even in the worst days of my life, in the worst days of my life, I can rejoice in the Lord because of my relationship with him. He's the only one in your life and in my life that can allow us to have this same prayer, this same triumph over the worst days that we go through. Doesn't matter if they last a day, a week, a month, a year, years. We too can have this. And she says, I boast, my mouth boasts over my enemy because I rejoice in your salvation. Keep in mind, I would imagine that Hannah had Peninnah in mind when she's saying these things, as that was her enemy. That was the one who was just the thorn in her side that kept driving her further and further into her despair. And she says, now, because of what God has done for me, because God's given me this child that I've prayed for and longed for so long, I can boast over my enemies. Not because of what I've done, but because what God's done through me. And because of that, she says, I can rejoice. I can be happy. I can rejoice in my salvation, in your salvation. Can you say the same thing tonight if you're a believer in Christ? How many of you have gone through difficult times, fallen on difficult times? Yeah, recently. What's your heart say? Man, I wish there was a way out. I wish there was something that I could grasp onto. I don't know where to go. Or does your heart say, no, Lord, I might not understand why this is happening or why I'm going through this, but God, I trust you. Lord, I trust you with everything. I trust you with everything. And Hannah, as she hands that little boy off, says, Lord, I know you have me. And I know this boy in your hands is going to be better than he is going to be in mine. And Lord, he's all yours. In verse 2, I love this verse. It says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you, and there is no rock like our God. Reverence is paid to the Lord. Hannah understands that this baby, this little boy Samuel, didn't come from her. It didn't come from the priest. It didn't come from her husband. It was a gift from God. And she's able to say, Lord, there is no one holy like you. Lord, there is no one besides you, and there is no rock like our God. I want to ask you guys a question. Well, multiple questions. And you don't have to answer, but let's see if your answer is the same as mine. Who was the one who parted the Red Sea? So that was Moses, right? That was Moses. Did a man really do that? No, that was God. Who was the one who shut the mouth of that lion? Well, that was Daniel. We know that was Daniel. No, that wasn't Daniel. That was God the Father. Who was the one who created the heavens and the earth? Oh, that was the Big Bang. It just showed up one day. No, that ain't right either. That was God the Father. Who's the one who commands the seasons, who can make it thunderstorm in February and then snow the very next day? Oh, that's Mother Nature. No, ain't her. That's Father God. Who is the one who heals the sick? So it's the doctors. It's the doctors. They do all that. I believe it's Father God. What about the one who makes the blind see? Oh, optometrist, the vision doctors. Close. God again. What about the one who made the lame walk and the deaf hear? It's God again. Who's the one who answers your prayers? The things that you couldn't do, so you go to somebody who can do it. Do you think that's you who figured it out? No, because if you could have figured it out, you wouldn't have went to him for prayer in the first place. That, again, that's God the Father. Who's the one that comforts you in the middle of the night when you wake up, your heart's aching, you don't know where else to turn? It's just you. Who's the one who comforts you? That's God. Who's the one who sent his only son to die on a cross so that you and I might be able to see eternity and life and have life everlasting? Well, the Bible tells us that's God too. Who's the one who raised up his only son after 3 days? What in the world? That was God too. Who's the one after salvation puts his Holy Spirit in you? Anybody? It's God. Who's the one who can grant, the only one who can grant eternal life through Christ Jesus? That is God the Father. And this is the God that we get the opportunity to serve. That's why Hannah can say, Lord, I'm down right now. Lord, I'm not so happy about this situation, but God, this is what you can do. God, this is who I've known you to be. I know your character. I know what you're about. I know how you've pulled me out of what you've pulled me out of. I know where I was going. I know where I was headed. But God, because you picked me up and turned me around and set me on a solid foundation, Lord, I can say these things even in my worst days. Even When times are tough. And that's why he's worthy of praise. Nobody else can say that. There's nobody in the world that can claim. They can claim it, but they can't deliver. They can say, oh, this is what I've done, but they can't do it like God did it. They can't do it like God does it. Isn't he worth following? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we, being the creation that we are, we say, well, you don't think some of that was me? You don't think some of these things was something I did? No. And Hannah, in verse 3, she says, with this in mind, don't boast so proudly or let arrogant words come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and actions are weighed by him. You see, the Lord knows all things, and he is a just God. And for us to take credit for what he's done seems silly. Even Jesus said, there's not one good. There's no one that's good but God the Father. Even Jesus didn't take credit for what God was doing through his life here on earth. We ought not to take credit either. Then in verses 4 through 8, we see verses that God knows how to humble the proud and how to lift up those who are weak. In verse 4, it says, "The bows of the warriors are broken, but the feeble are clothed with strength." You see, warriors is good when they have their sword and their shield and their weapons and they're great, but when God gets a hold of them and snaps them, and you know, when they think that they're somebody, God breaks them down and he says, but the feeble are clothed in their strength. In our weakness, in our worst days, God is the one who lifts us up and gives us our strength to get through, to endure each and every single day. We think we do it. We need to set an alarm to wake up. We can't do it. We can't do these things. It's all because of God. He says, "Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are starving hunger no more." We can want. The proud want and want and want, and they take and take and take. But they're never satisfied. It says, "The full hire themselves out for food." They say, "I need more. We're already full, but we need more. What else can this life give me? We need more. What else can I do? How else can I build my kingdom? How else can I stack up my throne and my riches? What else can I do to make a name for myself?" Don't matter. It says, "Those who are starving, hunger no more." Then he goes on in verse 5, "The woman who's childless gives birth to 7, but the woman with many sons pines away." God is the one that's in control of all of it. God is the one who has known from the beginning to the end how it's going to pan out. He knows the plan for your life. He knows what you're going to be doing tomorrow. He knew it before you were born. And I find comfort in that, knowing that, man, God's got me. He understands me. He understands me better than I understand me. So I'm going to follow Him. It goes on in verse 6, and this is something that Hannah knew well. "The Lord brings death and gives life." Hannah wanted more than anything to have that child, to have that first baby boy. Wanted so bad, more than anything. And the Lord blessed her with it. That here you go. Here's what it is. "But the Lord is the one who brings death and gives life. He sends some to Sheol and He raises others up." When we're prideful and we think that we're doing the things that God is doing, we ought to watch ourselves. Because our pride will lead us to death. Our pride will carry us through this life and say, "You don't need a Savior." Pride will take you all the way to the grave and say, "Wow, look what you've done." And then you look back at your life, and then that line goes flat. And where do you end up? You think you get to go to heaven because you were a good person? You think that you get to go to heaven because your good outweighs your bad? No. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord is the one who's in verse 3, He's the Lord is a God of knowledge, and actions are weighed by Him. He gets the final say. And the way that He brings life and death is through Jesus Christ. You see, we're all born into death. We're all born dead men walking. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can say we're alive. And it's not just alive here, but alive eternally with Him, all because of a single choice that we all can make, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It says in verse 8, "He raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the trash. He seats them with noble men and gives them a throne of honor." You see, we might not get our heart's desires here in this earth. It might be the toughest life. You might have the toughest life out of anybody in this room. I don't know. But God says, eventually, whether it be now or later, and the promise is later in heaven, that we will be seated with noblemen and gives them a throne of honor. Our treasures and our riches are waiting in heaven. And I guarantee you, it's better than anything that this world can give you. Any gold, silver, anything that you can get in this world, the treasures in heaven are much better. Much better. The hope of, I get to see my loved ones again. The hope of, I get to see my Savior face to face. The one who created everything. I get to meet him. I get to see him. I get to walk with him. I get to dine with him. He's going to invite me to his table. Wow. Can you wait? I can hardly wait. What a day that'll be. What a day that will be. And here's also a great thing about God and why we shouldn't worry so much. The foundations of the earth at the tail end of verse 8 are the Lord's, and He has set the world on them. You see, He owns everything, and He's created everything. He set the very foundations of the earth, and He has set the world on them. So look at me just for a second. If you think the God who created the heavens and the earth, who set the foundations and put the world on them, if you think that you are going through a problem too big for Him to handle, you're going through a walk too dark for Him to walk with you through, you think that you can't be pulled back, you think that He doesn't care about you, the God who set the foundations of the earth and then set the world upon them, this is the God that Hannah is talking about. He can do anything. Eddie, you said last week there's nothing too big for God to handle, but there's also nothing too small for Him to care about. God is a God who loves, who cares about you. And the problems that you have, whether they are self-inflicted or circumstantial, He cares about them. And He wants that relationship with you so He can say, I'm the God who can take care of it. I'm the one, the only one, who can fix that problem. Won't you come to me? Won't you cast aside your pride and drop the facade and just come? Just come to me. I have the answers. I have the fix. I'm the one who sent my one and only Son to die for you. This is the God that Hannah's serving. This is the God that we serve. And that is exciting to me. It says in verse 9, He guards the steps of His faithful ones, but the wicked perish in darkness. For a person does not prevail by his own strength. You see, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 11, that we are in our weakness, we're made strong. It's not because of what we're doing. It's because of the Holy Spirit and the relationship that we have with God. When we're down in the dumps, when we have nowhere to turn to, when we're the lowest of low, God is the one who gives us the increase. God is the one who gives us the strength. God is the one who pushes us to continue and to glorify His name because what He's pulled us out of. This is the God we serve, guys. And I don't know if it's sticking for some of you. I don't know if what is being said here, what we've read is hitting home. This God that we serve, the God of the Bible, the living God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who can pull you from the pits of hell, redeem your life, this is the God. This is the one. He's the only one. This is the one. There is not life in any other God. There is no future with any other God. All we have to look forward to if we do it on our own is death, hell, and the grave, and that's it. God sent His only Son to die for you and I so that we wouldn't have to go through it. That we would be able to spend eternity with Him. Why do we keep walking around in our shame? Why do we keep walking around in our defeat and act like nobody cares about us? If God was the only person, if Jesus was the only one to care about us, that would be enough. That would be more than enough. Why? Because He's the one who's doing everything in our lives anyway. It's Him. It's only Him. It's always been Him. It's always going to be Him. It's always ever been Him. It's Him. This is the God. Some of us don't have a relationship with this God. Some of us don't have a relationship with this God. And for those who don't have a relationship with this God, Hannah says in verse 10, here's the real truth of the matter of of if you don't have a relationship with God. It says in verse 10, those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. It doesn't say those who oppose the Lord might be shattered. Those who oppose the Lord could be shattered. It says those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. That is a guarantee that this will happen. He will thunder in the heavens against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give power to His king, and He will lift up the horn of His anointed. You'll be crushed. If you oppose the Lord, you die without a relationship, without this coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The end that you have to face is death, because you're not alive in Christ. Hell, because you're not going to heaven because you didn't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In the grave, to stay there for all of eternity, separated from God. Pride takes us there. Our way of thinking takes us there and keeps us away from the most holy God, the one true God, the living God. Separated for all eternity. Put in perspective, it's a speck of a grain of sand in the ocean. That's what eternity, that's a visual on eternity. And you really want to take the chance of saying, yeah, I heard it. Yeah, let's see if I make it to next week. Yeah, I've been doing fine. No, you haven't. You haven't been doing fine. God wants to take your life, and He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you right now, He does life so much better than we do it. We think we're good at it. We think we got it figured out. We think we can slide some things in and hold on to this, hold on to that. He sees it all. It says in verse 3, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and actions are weighed by Him. There's nothing that you're getting away with. He knows everything. But He did send His only Son to die for you, for me, so that we might not be shattered, so that the thunder in the heavens might not cry out against us, so that we will not be judged as those who are going to be in the great white throne judgment, but we will go before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. And He will give an account on our behalf of our life so that we would be able to live eternally with Him. You see, that is a choice that everybody in this room has to make. Many of us have made it, and praise God. Many of us haven't. And that's a choice that you all have to make tonight. But before we close, a challenge for you, those who are walking with the Lord and those who aren't. Challenge is the same. Why don't you let God be God in your life and you be who you were created to be? You see, there's only one Jeremy. There's only one Phil. There's only one Phil. There's only one of each of you. God has a plan for all of you. And His plan and His will includes salvation for all. But to be the person that God's asked us to be, it's somebody who proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, somebody who tells the world about this awesome God that even on my worst days, God was there. Hey, on my best days, He was still there. In my mediocre days, guess who was there? God. Somebody who praises Him, say, Lord, I'm going through the worst day of my life so far, but I know that You're going to be there. Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this, but I know that You're there. Lord, I don't understand, but I know that You're there. And for that, You're worthy. You're worthy of all praise. And somebody who can worship God. Somebody who can worship God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit on the worst days of their life. You see, that's who we get to be. We get to be that. Let God be God. Let us be the creation. So let's stand.